This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm so excited to welcome our next guest from Denver. Jason Romano is the director of media for Sports Spectrum, a company that was established going back to the 80s, but has recently kind of taken on a new personality. It's got a podcast. There's a website. There are all kinds of fun new digital projects that they're doing. And Jason is a major reason why, because he left ESPN after nearly two decades and joined Sports Spectrum to take this business venture to a whole new stratosphere, and it certainly is working. So Jason, welcome. What is the goal of the Sports Spectrum podcast and the company itself as you continue to grow it now by leaps and bounds?
Well, as Sports Spectrum has been around initially, believe it or not, this might surprise some people, since 1985. So it's been around a very long time, but it was always just a magazine. And so the Sports Spectrum brand started as a magazine. The goal in the infancy stages of starting this media company was to bring more purposeful stories, stories of sports, stories of faith, stories of culture, of impact, of family, into this world of media, using the lens of sports to be able to promote and talk about faith, because faith is such an important thing for so many athletes. And here we are 36 years later now, and it's still, you know, the main focus for us as we have now evolved into the 21st century with podcasts and certainly our digital space with our website. We have a podcast network of shows now with a bunch of different athletes and just a lot of cool things happening. The goal is still the same. You know, so many purposeful people who are out there in the world of sports, whether it's athletes, coaches, people like yourself in the broadcasting space, people who love sports, but people who have a greater purpose in their life, and sports isn't just the eon end-all of their lives. And faith is a big part of a lot of people's lives, including yours, Amy, obviously. And so that's what we try to highlight. That's what we try to bring, conversations around faith, conversations around sports, and just kind of intersect the two.
Over the past year, we've all faced a lot of challenges, some unique to us as individuals, others across a broad spectrum in the United States and even globally. What types of themes have you been able to dig into, and what types of common themes have come up in your various conversations with athletes, broadcasters, and the type of guests that you've had on your podcast?
Well, I think the main theme is the fact that none of us are really in control. And I think we always say that, you know, whether it's the higher power or God or whatever it is, you know, that people believe, I think we look at this life and we think we have all the control that we have. And in so many instances, in so many cases, we do, right? Like, we can control, hopefully, if we wake up tomorrow morning, what time we're going to wake up by setting that alarm or whatever, right? We can control what we're going to wear. But there's certain situations like a pandemic where that's just legitimately taking everything out of our control, right? And this horrible, you know, 15 months or whatever it's been, 13, 14 months of this pandemic has really, I think, the common theme for everybody is, wait a minute, okay, I don't have control of my life the way it maybe we all kind of took for granted and thought. The other thing was, maybe I'm just a little too busy. And I mean that in the best way, because obviously being busy for athletes, for people in the sports space, you know, we had sports for so many months and then all of a sudden it was taken away. But I think people recognize maybe this is a good time to incorporate the idea of rest into our lives, to incorporate the idea of spending more time with your family, a time that you might never get back again, depending on what you do and where you live and what you, you know, do for a living. That's been a real common theme, and I think it's especially prevalent in athletes who have such a regimented schedule, such a regimented way of going about how they pursue their craft. And, you know, even in their faith being an important part in what we try to highlight, many realizing that that may have taken over as the most important thing in their life. And I think the pandemic allowed for many athletes to realize, wait, there's things that are way more important than my job, although the job is important and it's what we all talk about in the sports world. You know, greater things are more important in their lives, meaning family, meaning faith, meaning just things that are really near and dear. And I think finding that identity, finding that purpose in something bigger than just what they do for a living was a very much a common theme over the past year.
A silver lining to a pandemic in that it sharpens our perspective and allows us to recognize which priorities in our lives need to be front and center. Jason Romano is with us from Denver, where Sports Spectrum headquarters are located. He's the director of media. And this is kind of crazy to me because I don't really know anybody else who was there, but you were actually on Radio Row, as it were, these past couple months ago for the Super Bowl that was in Tampa. What was that like?
Amy, it was bizarre. I mean, we talked about Radio Row in Minneapolis where, you know, now that would be, you know, 1,000 violations of social distancing and, you know, staying close to each other in Minneapolis where everything was so tight inside that Minneapolis mall. And then you get to Tampa this year. And, you know, part of why we went down there was because, A, I was surprised the NFL even had a Radio Row, but they did, and there wasn't really anybody there, but we wanted to stay in good graces and, you know, see what might come from being down there. Mm. And to be honest with you, there wasn't a whole lot that came from being down there. Like, we could have gotten a lot of what we wanted to get right from staying at our offices or staying, you know, remotely at our houses. But I thought it was a really good experience to go down there. You know, I think we want to keep our spot in Radio Row for next year, hopefully, being that we're not like the big bad, you know, networks that can just kind of make a quick call and they're in. You know, we wanted to make sure that we stayed in good graces. So I think going down there helped with that for next year, hopefully in Los Angeles. But it was a ghost town, Amy. It was everything that you thought happened in Minneapolis. Just completely take that as the opposite of that. And that's what it was. There was nobody going through. You didn't see any athletes. You know, it's usually a who's who on Radio Row of athletes, entertainers, media, you name it, it's a who's who. And this year there were maybe, I think I counted at one point 20 stations or 20 media outlets that were there.
What?
Everything was 20 to 30 feet separated from the next closest media outlet or radio station. It was unlike any other year. But again, I mean, it was worth going in the sense that we got to kind of, you know, what I'd like to say, stay in good graces with the NFL for next year. But it was bizarre on all ends.
Interesting. Of course, After Hours was not there for the first time since the Super Bowl was in New York, so it felt strange. But I did have a Radio Row set up in my living room, so that was kind of interesting with the radio equipment from home, and I know we've all done a lot of adjusting since then. Now, it seems as though more and more people are in different parts of the country are able to get out, whether it's to go to church, whether it's to attend an event. We've got graduation and prom season coming up, and this round of high school students, it feels like, are going to have a little more normalcy than what it was a year ago. Of course, anything is more normal compared to a year ago. You actually, while we're talking about the NFL theme, you actually with Sports Spectrum have this draft show coming up that's going to feature Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. That's amazing. I can imagine that's going to bring a lot of traffic to the show.
We hope so. I mean, listen, everybody's trying to capitalize on what is, you know, maybe the biggest, the most important, you know, non-game event for the NFL all year long. And the fact that the draft is actually happening in a way that's, you know, different from last year, but back to sort of being normal from where it was in the past, like, that's exciting. But again, we always do a little bit of a different take on the sports world because we want to talk about faith and we want to talk about purpose. And we want to talk about, you know, culture and things like that. And with this opportunity next week, we're doing this, what we're calling original name here, Amy, the Sports Spectrum Draft Special. we took a lot of time in thinking about that name, but we're really excited because what we wanted to do was, again, take what we're good at and what we're known for. It's our niche of intersecting the world of sports and faith. And Dabo Swinney is one of those guys with Clemson who wears his faith on his sleeve.
Yes.
Unapologetic. He loves his faith. He loves the Lord. And, you know, obviously he's an amazing coach, an amazing, you know, leader of men, an amazing leader for football. And, you know, the success that he has is unparalleled, maybe, you know, except for Nick Saban in the last, certainly in the last decade or so. And we're going to have Dabo on, and we're going to talk to him about, you know, about Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor, again, is also a guy who's not only going number one in all likelihood to Jacksonville, but a guy who loves, you know, loves his God as well. And I think intersecting that world and talking to Dabo about not only who Trevor Lawrence is as a player, but what you're going to get as a person, the kind of man that he is, the character that he has, the faith that he has, and then talk to Dabo about his journey a little bit. You know, a lot of people I don't think know about his journey of, you know, growing up, and it was a real difficult situation for him, and then coming into Alabama, eventually becoming the head coach at Clemson, which was a crazy situation, but really how his faith guides him and how that became real to him over the years. Stories that I don't think you hear a lot in other places. That's really what we're trying to focus on our YouTube and our Facebook channels with Sports Spectrum.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And if you want to follow Sports Spectrum on Twitter, it's @sports_spectrum. Jason Romano is the director of media with Sports Spectrum and is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I have no idea when in the world you had time to write not just a book, but a second book. And it's called The Uniform of Leadership. And it was released smack dab in the middle of 2020, Jason. And it goes back to the days that we worked at the same network, ESPN, where we met initially. You're drawing on lessons that you learned from your days there before you left the network and made the jump to Sports Spectrum. What are a couple of leadership lessons that you still apply today that you can trace back to those days?
Well, the interesting thing was working there, it wasn't about anything that I had done or even the role that I was in. I mean, the role allowed me to meet, as it did with you, I'm sure, and it does still to this day, allows us to meet a lot of amazing people.
Yes.
People who are, you know, known throughout the country, throughout the world, certainly in the sports world, whether it's coaches or athletes. And so what I try to do is I got, you know, a really cool opportunity for about 9 years to spend time as a talent booker and a talent producer working with these athletes and these coaches and bringing people into the building and taking them around and showing them, you know, what the campus was like, having them appear on a bunch of different shows. And watching them, though, in their element, there were so many lessons. I'll give you an example of one. Back in 2010, this was when Pete Carroll from Seattle, obviously the Seahawks head coach, had just taken the job with the Seahawks. He had left USC. It was a big deal, leaving all the success in college to go into the NFL. And I have Pete scheduled to come to campus to come at ESPN and do a bunch of interviews. And Pete is, you know, excited, and obviously he comes from one side of the country all the way to Connecticut, where ESPN's located, and you know, about to do a bunch of shows, and I have him scheduled for our morning show that day, and it also happens to be the day that George Steinbrenner passes away. So I'm kind of freaking out, like, oh no, there's going to be all of these radio shows and TV shows and digital shows that are going to now cancel what we had scheduled for months with Pete Carroll, because they want to cover the George Steinbrenner story. And so I'm kind of giving him a heads up on this, and Pete was awesome. He looks at me and he says, Jason, it's going to be okay. We're going to do the best we can. If I can, you know, if I can do one show, if I can do five shows, if I can do zero shows, it's fine. You cannot predict breaking news. Now, you're asking me about the lesson here. Here's the leadership lesson. That day, and this is one I take with me and I wrote about in the book as well, Pete Carroll was the thermostat and not the thermometer. So as leaders, we can either be a thermostat or we can be a thermometer. The thermometer is sort of what the temperature is in the room. The thermostat sets the temperature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Carroll that day understood that the temperature in Jason's world was rising quite a bit because I was getting nervous. And he calmed that down. He says, listen, you're fine. We're good. And he set the temperature. And when he set it at a pace as a leader, everybody kind of follows in to that way that he was setting it, and we were all fine, and we were all in a good place. And I believe the great leaders, not only are great leaders servants, right? Like, they give back. They're always thinking about others first, which Pete did. but they set the temperature in the room. And that's exactly what Coach Carroll was. And I've talked to many players who played with him since about that day, and they said that's how he is every single day when he gets ready for a practice or a game. He is a thermostat and not a thermometer.
We're spending a few minutes with Sports Spectrum Director of Media, Jason Romano. It's a new title for him. He's been hosting the podcast. I've been on it two times, once around Christmas, which was such an honor. But you've also done so much work with social media, both personally as well as with the Sports Spectrum sources and their sites. And I'm always fascinated by the way that you remain positive and uplifting and hopeful. And you also use social media as an effective tool to recruit people to listen to your podcast. And Jason, podcasting is, man, it's an art form for sure, but it's also one where there are a million artists, if not more than that. And so social media is critical if you're trying to set yourself apart from all of these other available podcasts, or as you tried to promote a book that you had to do last year. What are some of the ways that you feel like social media can be most effective?
Well, it's a good question, because we live in a social media society. And as a person who is in his 40s, you know, I grew up at a time where there wasn't that, as we just talked about, like in the 90s, there wasn't any social media into the early 2000s. And it was a different time. But, you know, I think what happened is, you know, we all discovered that we have a platform. You know, whether it's 50 followers or 100 followers or 100,000 followers, we all have this platform that we now have a voice in. And it's a very, it can be, and you know this, a very toxic place where, yes, a lot of people just spew off and hide behind their keyboards or their phones and just say whatever they want. But it can also be a really neat place, a really good place, to where you can share opinions, share thoughts. But really, I find it as a great place to be an encouragement. Right, be a cheerleader for other people who, you know, share their successes, whether it is writing a book or, you know, like if you share that your show was on tonight, like, I want to cheer you on, Amy, and say, all right, that's awesome. This is going to be a great show. Good job. Instead of just saying, oh, here we go again, or blah, 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 or just, you know, being a Debbie Downer. I think, you know, social media for me, I look at it as it's a great place to promote. It clearly is. And if anybody is releasing anything or has some kind of content that they work on, they should share it on social media, because you have to be your biggest champion for your work. I kind of look at it as the 80-20 rule, right? 80% give, 20% take. The taking for me on social media is the promoting of whatever I'm doing, but the 80% is like, let's give, let's encourage, let's share, let's point people to other things that are more important than yourself. And that's kind of where I see the best part of social media. It also gives you a chance to speak out against injustices and things like that. And there's a place for that, and that's important. But I think if you're just kind and encouraging, first of all, you'll stand out, because a lot of social media is not.
Ugh.
But you'll be a better person, you'll feel better, and the person you're being kind and empathetic and considerate to will respect that, I think. And it will allow that place to be an actually civilized place. Now, again, Amy, you know this, easier said than done.
Right.
But I think that's where we can all be better as people, especially those in the human or in the social media race as humans, is just to be more encouraging, more, you know, more uplifting. You know, tearing people down isn't going to get us anywhere, but lifting them up and encouraging them, man, I think that's where you can see a lot of real positive things happen.
And yet navigating social media, I think, is, if you do it the right way, some of the ways that you've described, it's a learned skill. It's not one, yeah, that comes naturally to us as humans. Whether you're the target or whether you're the one who's taking aim, that's our human nature, right? To get defensive or to be on the offensive, and not to interact in ways that are uplifting and positive and encouraging when there's no accountability. And really, you can be anonymous if you're not a public figure. And I go back to my very first sports talk show that I was doing in Oklahoma. This is pre-network radio. And I, yeah, somehow stumbled onto a chat room. Now, a different type of social media, but it was an area where people could share their beefs. And I remember coming upon this thread that had to do with me. And I spent time reading it, and I burst into tears. It was awful. People were awful. The lies, mm-hmm, that they were saying, there were really things that were completely 100% made up about me and my life, and at the time, a relationship that I was in. And even when I started at CBS Sports Radio and where I had my regular show and I could see my social media profiles increase, I know now that God needed to prepare me for that, because I can see how difficult it is, my personality, but also when you're constantly the target, to not be on the defensive and to not want to respond. But it's impossible. As a public figure, it's impossible to defend yourself on that forum. You're already at a disadvantage. And so I really had to be able to let it go, which does not come naturally to me. And so, Jason, people ask me all the time, people who want to get into the broadcasting business or young broadcasters who would like to get to the network level, what are your recommendations for social media? And I remind them that most people are on there to be trolls, right? So the opposite of what you're talking about, most people are on there to be trolls and to get a reaction. So if you don't respond, if you choose your battles, which is what I tell them, then very often you're not adding fuel to the fire. And yet I got to tell you from personal experience, it's so difficult to do. It takes some grace to be able to navigate social media.
It does. It takes courage. And I also think sometimes it takes the willingness to not always have to respond as much as you want to, right? Like, I think our fingers, we have those quick thumbs on our phones that we just respond to everything real quick, and it takes 3 seconds. And, you know, our mutual friend, I'm sure you remember and talked to Coach Herm Edwards in the past, just like I have. And Coach Herm always said, don't press send, right? That was his big thing. And we laughed at it and we joked at it, but there's some truth to that. Now, I do think there's opportunities where we should press send, but we don't have to respond to everyone. There's actually a choice there that we don't even have to look at it, which a lot of people say they don't. I don't agree. I really don't believe that. I think everybody looks.
Yeah.
But you don't have to respond to everything. It's not easy. I would say, you know, I've actually talked to a couple of other people who have very large followings, and they said, you know, what I try to do is kill them with kindness if I do want to respond. So instead of just responding back and sort of defending because you're angry, kill them with kindness. Say, listen, I appreciate that you responded to me. And it almost shell shocks them, right? They're just, what just happened? I was crushing this dude, and they're responding to me with some kind of kindness. Now, I know it's not the norm, and you don't see that a lot, but maybe that's a way. I don't know, but it is really, really hard. You're right, Amy.
Are you surprised when athletes and public figures continue to fall into the same trap, though? I feel like over and over, we see people use social media in a way that they know if it gets out, if it goes public, it's going to provide, or it's going to create such backlash and criticism, and yet people don't get the concept that anything you put on the internet is permanent. It does not go away.
It shocks me that we're in this day and age, but yet, again, I think, you know, I also think about when I was 20 years old, if I'm thinking about like college athletes, right?
True.
What a wacko idiot I was, right? Like, thank goodness that there was no social media when I was 20 years old. I don't even know if I would have made it to where I am now. Who knows? Because, you know, I would have probably put a lot of things that I regretted on there during those years. But at the same time, the education has to start, I think, at younger ages. You know, in high school, they should be having social media training for athletes and for all students to say, listen, this is okay. This is your world. We don't want to take away your world. We just want to show you that there are consequences to all of our actions, good and bad. And, you know, you mentioned what would be the advice in a lot of ways from, you know, the young journalists coming up. And one of the things I say is, just remember, everything you put on there can be used against you in the court of public opinion, right? And that is a big thing. You know, even when you're hiring or when you're looking at someone and seeing how they treat others on social media, are they cursing up a storm and ripping people apart? You know, are they handling themselves and conducting, you know, business in the proper way? Like, people are, I mean, social media can in many ways become a resume for a lot of people that can hurt them just as much as help them. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, Amy, where I wish there was more education. It's something that I did and taught a little bit on when I was at ESPN social media, and have had opportunities to talk to teams, including players in the NFL and teams in the NFL about social media, and just saying, listen, just be smart. I'm not saying get off it. I'm just saying remember that everything you post there, especially if you're a public figure, can come back to haunt you if you're not careful.
It's a powerful tool. It can be powerful for good, but it can also be powerful for bad. And we've seen a lot of people fall into that trap. And yet we use it because, as you say, it's the number one way to promote. It's the number one way to connect with a large audience and to do it in a space where you can control your own narrative. Kind of where you have the platform individually. So we're going to give you Jason's address on social media, on Twitter at Jason Romano, and then also for Sports Spectrum at Sports_Spectrum. He's the director of media based in Denver, which is how we can connect with him tonight. And don't forget that draft special that comes up next week with Clemson football coach Dabo Swinney. It is so good to catch up with you, especially an extended conversation. And I know you're not a night owl. You're the opposite of me, so I appreciate a couple of minutes.
Amy, you're the best. I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks for inviting me on your show. This was great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.